David Trainer, the founder and president at New Constructs, is here. At New Constructs, they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And it's time to go looking for trouble. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yes, it's the Danger Zone here on Money Life. This is where we talk with David Trainer, the president and founder at New Constructs, which, if you've never been to the website to take a look, there is so much information there, and it might be about, well, where your stock is on the most attractive to most dangerous scale, but they cover mutual funds and exchange-traded funds and, of course, stocks, and they blog about all of their Danger Zone picks. So whatever you hear here, if you want more information, you can get it by going to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at newconstructs. But the important thing here is that at New Constructs, to come up with those ratings, they dig in from the bottom and they work their way up. They start at the footnotes and they're looking to see whether or not earnings and the rest of the picture is misleading. They're asking one basic question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Oh, yes. It is definitely possible. When something is misleading, it is de facto dangerous if it's working against you. Sometimes it works for you. That makes something attractive. Like you look at the top and you go, ooh, things could be ugly. And David finds that the picture's not quite that way. Again, to learn more about how it works, go to their website right now. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
People who rely on enterprise value to EBITDA ratios.
Danger, danger.
Okay, enterprise value to EBITDA. This is an interesting concept, and this is one of those cases where I think what you're about to do is kind of lift the curtain on some of the places where you find that the numbers are misleading as you go in at the bottom and work your way up. So explain why people would look at enterprise value to EBITDA, what the terms mean, and why they would look there, and then let's get to why they're unreliable and maybe who's the poster child for it.
That's a great question, because it's a common ratio, especially in the private equity space, but also in public equities, where people are just trying to get a sense of the value of the business relative to its cash flow. In a world where people don't take the time to read all the financial statements and the footnotes, they take the numbers that are most easily available, and all the data providers provide you with this earnings before interest and taxes and depreciation and amortization. That's what EBITDA stands for, EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. And that's, in theory, a clean apples-to-apples number that represents sort of the core operating cash flows of the business. And then when you want to compare that to enterprise value, which is really market value plus debt in any preferred stock or the overall value of the firm, because the EBITDA cash flows are for all shareholders or all stakeholders. So you need to look at the value that it captures or the ratio or enterprise value that includes debt, because you're looking at the cash flow to debt holders, to equity holders, all those. So in order for the numerator and the denominator to be consistent with each other, it's enterprise value, not market value. The big problem with this ratio is that it overlooks so much of the business. First of all, EBITDA is not the profits. Taxes do matter. Depreciation and amortization do matter, especially for capital-intensive businesses, right? Probably one of the most offensive numbers in the entire world with respect to financial analysis is the non-GAAP EBITDA. Already with EBITDA, you're going really far upstream. When I say upstream, I mean closer and closer to revenue, right? We just look at revenue. You can't really judge a business based on revenue, because you can make all the revenue in the world, but if you don't make any money, then what's the point? And non-GAAP EBITDA is even worse than regular EBITDA, because they take out particular operating expenses that you're not allowed to take out on the income statement. Nevertheless, EBITDA is an incomplete measure of profits. Number one, that's bad. And secondly, it's incredibly misleading for a business that has any kind of a balance sheet, right? And there are very few businesses that don't have a balance sheet. Very, very, very few. The main stock we're going to talk about today in terms of looking cheap but is really expensive is ADT. It has an enterprise value of the EBITDA ratio of 6, which is about half the market average.
Right.
But it's an extremely capital-intensive business. When you take into account deferred tax liabilities and off-balance sheet debt, that's like $1.5 billion, or 10% of the enterprise value, that is just completely ignored in this ratio. And then the fact that there's $1.7 billion a year on CapEx, is also something that is completely ignored by this ratio.
So I have to ask, I want to jump in here and ask to make sure my audience understands. So we are talking about low enterprise value, low EBITDA. So normally, if we saw those things, the assumption would be that's a cheap stock.
The ratio of enterprise value to EBITDA is only 6. The market average is 12.
Right.
So that stock looks cheap.
So that's where we would come up. It's that ratio that would make us conclude that the stock is cheap. And it's the other things that we're discussing, and I know you've got more to talk about, that are saying, no, that's where it's misleading. That's specifically, that number is the one that's misleading.
Correct. So it's not cheap. It's not a good cash flow, strong cash flow business relative to enterprise value, which is what a ratio of 6 makes it look like. In fact, the return on invested capital is only 2%. It has a negative economic book value, right? So this is not a good cash flow business. Worse yet, when we look at the valuation at a $6.50 share price, that implies that they're going to grow profits at 14% compounded annually for the next 10 years where they haven't been growing profits at all. So you're going to have this drastic turnaround in the business and sustain it at an extremely high level for over a decade. That's what's baked into the current stock price. So on the surface, looks cheap. When you do some digging, it's a poor business and it's actually very expensive.
And the disconnect, I mean, it's currently trading in the 650 range. It's worth about
a dollar, even if they can grow NOPAT at 8% compounded annually for 15 years.
Okay. Now, quickly, let's turn it around. Because if low enterprise value to EBITDA is supposed to mean cheap, but we found it expensive, does it work the other way as well? I mean, we're normally talking about the dangerous side, but is there an attractive side as well where you could go, wait, I've got all the numbers that should say high price, but it actually comes out low?
Yes, actually, that is the case. Kimberly-Clark is a great example where the enterprise value to EBITDA, it looks fully valued. It's at the market average, and that's at the high end of the range for a company in this industry. But the reality is that the return on invested capital for this business is very high and improving. Went from 12% in 2014 to 15% in fiscal year 2008. The problem is that the pre-tax cash flow, that EBITDA, is understated because there are a bunch of restructuring and write-downs and increases in reserves that cause EBITDA to understate the cash flow, especially the cash flow trend of the business. So when you do some digging, look through the footnotes, you find that EBITDA number is not as clean as you expect it to be, and in this case, understating profitability. And in reality, the stock is cheap. The price to economic book value is 1, or in other words, the market value equals the no growth value of the business. So effectively, you're buying this stock with a free option on any profit growth.
And that's Kimberly-Clark, that's KMB. That's the one that actually would be attractive in this case, even though it's got high enterprise value to EBITDA. The one that is unattractive, the dangerous one, that was ADT, where it's low enterprise value to EBITDA. And of course, the moral of the story is enterprise value to EBITDA, it might be misleading you. And that's why we put people who rely on it in the danger zone. David, great as always to have you with us. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer, everybody. He is the president at NewConstructs.com. New Constructs, and the website is NewConstructs.com. They're on Twitter at NewConstructs. And if you want more information, they blog about their danger zone picks. Get it there. We'll be right back with the Market Call and John Barr.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.